Hi, my name's Dan Davidson, and you're listening to the Music's Journey podcast presented by Now and Then magazine with my friend Kim Sear.
Before I jump into my interview with Dan Davidson, there are a few things that I would like to go over first. If you enjoy today's show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. The more positive the rating, the easier it is to find the show, and it really helps us to grow the community that we are trying to develop here. If you are someone who has recently found our podcast, welcome. We are really excited to have you here. So please make sure you subscribe and stay tuned to our future podcasts. Take a screenshot and post this to your Instagram story and tag Music's Journey Podcast and Now and Then Magazine. I will feature you in one of our future podcasts. Without further ado, here is my interview with Canadian country superstar Dan Davidson.
It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With your special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
What a show I have here for you today with my very special guest who has created undeniable momentum in the last few years with multiple CCMA nominations, 10 ACMA awards, gold single, number one selling Canadian song and record, top charting numbers across the board. And here he is back with his new single, Roll With It, featuring the multi-award winning group, The Roadhammers. Welcome to the show, Dan Davidson.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is exciting. I like doing these podcasts. It's way better than, you know, doing an interview where you just rapid fire your stock answer and away you go.
I know. We try to get away from all of that. I know that the labels like us to have those short ones, but it's nice to be able to get in and get a little bit deeper. So how have you been?
You know, I'm surviving. It's actually been, I kind of thought we'd be back to normal fully by now, but it seems like we're turning the corner now. And it's a funny mental shift throughout this whole thing. I felt like at the beginning, I had this idea of like, oh, you know what, this is going to be fine. I'll get some time to like try all these things I never tried before. And then flash forward 6 months later, and I'm just like, oh,
year.
God, make it stop.
I know, it's been a lot, but there was some good news this morning, so we're kind of hoping. A lot of people have been with the vaccine now, so let's hope that everything stays open this time.
Yeah, no kidding. It was pretty dicey out here in Alberta for a little while.
I so heard.
I'm glad that we're finally getting 10 people together outside.
So that's
something.
It's a start. And then they're allowing people to do rehearsals outside and stuff now too, I heard.
Yeah, that's so great. I mean, isn't it so insane that, you know, I feel like Canada was, for the most part, pretty good rule followers and America just seemed like such a dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're back to normal and we're waiting around.
I know.
Well,
strange. You know, I think it's just, you know, everybody gets so antsy and figured, you know what, it's okay. You know, we can go out there, not no harm done. But, you know, I just know just in some church groups, they just decided to have some life group meetings. And just the first one, you know, this was just like 2 weeks ago. You know, the following week, there was three people in it that had COVID and it spread. So you don't know, right? So we got to stick with it and make sure that we all get back to work if we just pay attention and do it right, right?
Exactly. And you know what? There was some positives coming out of this whole thing. I mean, as cliche as it might be with this, you know, all the artists writing and stuff. So it was a big creative boom. But
for
me, it was...
Have you been busy?
Yeah, I was kind of just expanding my horizons a little bit during this whole thing.
Just a little. We just interviewed Pat Quarterback.
Oh, really? From Stereos. Oh,
yes.
Great.
Yes. So that's coming up really soon. So that's
great.
Your single with him. So yeah.
Yeah. I love that guy. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. You know, back in the day, like, so we're all from Edmonton. And so we had Stereos that was kind of doing the pop thing from Edmonton. And my band was called Tupelo Honey, and, you know, we were touring with bands like Bon Jovi and doing all these kind of things. And
God, I'm telling you, I remember that very well.
So we had a good scene, you know. There was Social Code, which was here, and 10 Second Epic was a Juno-nominated rock band. So we had, a really cool thing going on. But I never really crossed paths with Pat Quarterback from Stereos all that much back in the day, and it was really nice, you know, in our... you know, mature part of our career that we were able to get together and make some music and reminisce about the hometown a little.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you've been writing with a bunch of artists, you know, since COVID happened.
Yeah. It's like writing's always been a big part of my thing. I think with Tupelo Honey, I signed a publishing deal, or at least an admin deal, with a company out of Toronto called Red Brick Songs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really a big game changer for me. It opened my eyes to you know, what's out there and the mechanics of the industry and sort of the craft of it all. And I really dug into that. I don't know if it was just, I felt like a new challenge or something, but after Tupelo started getting syncs on, you know, CTV and HBO, and we had a Sunkist commercial and all this stuff, it started to dawn on me like, oh, there's actually money in some of this industry somewhere.
Not easy, but yes, there can be.
somebody's got it, and it's not me, and I want it. So, yeah, I started doing that and writing for a lot of other artists, and I've had some good major label cuts, but this year, over the pandemic, I've just had so much fun because I get to continue writing with my good friend Clayton from the Road Hammers.
Clayton and, Bellamy, yes.
Yeah. So we've done a ton of projects together and write together at least once or twice a week, probably. And we've produced a couple records together, and I produced his record. And so,
gosh, you're in all the hats now.
Yeah, trying to anyway.
What's it like working with Clayton?
Well, Clay's great. I mean, what I love about him is he's a connector. You know, he just has good positive vibes and likes to put people together and be sort of like the catalyst for interesting things happening. So, I mean, the way that we first kind of got together was, you know, when I started to decide I was going to do this country project, mm-hmm. I didn't really know too many people that were on the national level as far as songwriters in town, in country. Like, there's a lot of artists in Edmonton and a lot of great talent, but I just didn't know all the ins and outs of who was behind everything. But I knew Clayton because the Road Hammers and Tupelo Honey had played on a lot of festivals together. Because, mm-hmm. you know, typically out in Alberta, every festival, there's a rock night and a country night. And so
yep.
we'd cross paths from time to time, but it was never more than a, oh, hey, what's up kind of a thing. And then, I just called him out of the blue one day when I was getting started. And I was like, hey, I've got this song idea. You want to just hang out? And so we spent 2 days together. And we wrote Found and Barn Burner, which were two massive songs for me.
Huge for you, yes.
Yeah, right out of the gate, you know, like Found went gold and Clay and I were like, oh, yeah, something's there. Let's keep this going.
It's funny how you write with somebody and it just clicks. You know, it's just you go back to those same people that you're really comfortable with because you know you're going to produce, you know, when you go in there and you have that writing session, right?
Totally. And I think, you know, it is, sometimes it's a game of quantity. It's, you know, you're right. Sometimes you're just not in a headspace to write a good song. And I think that half the songs that people write are probably bad. I'm sure I usually, you know, write a bunch of tankers to get to the good ones sometimes. And that's just kind of how it goes. And some days you write a fantastic song in an hour. So you just never know. But with Clay, I always knew that the hang is going to be good and we're always going to have fun. And I think that's half the battle.
Like, it is. Yeah, I was going to say that. It's probably half of the battle right there.
It so is. And you might as well make, this is a fun job and we might as well try and enjoy it because there's no certainties in this business whatsoever. And, you know, you got to find those. It's so frustrating. So finding those little nuggets of, you know, like, oh, I'm doing something fun with my life is what it's all about, I find.
Well, I'm telling you, like 5 years in country and look how far you've come. Like when it comes to the creativity and the writing, did you find the pandemics helped that for you to be able to sink into a little bit more time that you wouldn't necessarily have because you guys are so busy and, you know, getting life out of the way and being able to sit and create, you know, just allowing that creative flow to be there, which probably wouldn't be as intense as what it is now, right? Because you've got that time on your hands.
That's true. Yeah. You know, I think that the thing that I noticed is that I was able to learn how to focus a little bit better and prepare a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So instead of it taking 4 hours, it might take 2 hours. But I find a lot of the time now in my sessions that have been really good, like I've had a couple really good ones with Tim Hicks and with Gore Bamford and the Road Hammers and a bunch of other artists. It's all about having a really great nugget to bring in. Mm-hmm. So typically, these things just hit me when I'm in the shower. So I
So you must be showering all day long.
I know, my wife's banging on the door. What are you doing in there? Usually, I'll if I know I have a session coming up, and I'm like, okay, I have a Tim Hicks session coming up, then I'll be like, what does Tim do? And I think about his music and his vibe and, like, how he makes people feel and just some, like, interesting one-liners and topics that might have popped into my brain from TV or even another song. Sometimes you just twist things in your head or you're in it. I found that a trick that my producer Jeff Dalziel taught me a long time ago. Yeah, yeah. Jeff's so good. And he's been sort of my mentor through this whole thing. But he planted a little bit of a thing in my brain, was like, you just listen to, if you're in a crowd, just listen to people. Just like eavesdrop a little bit. And sometimes you'll just hear something poetic by accident and then just write it down on your phone.
Well, because you often take stories from other people, right? Or, you know, just things that are happening in somebody's life. So that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, and especially for me, because like I feel like I'm pretty lucky. Like I'm a pretty happy person. I don't have a lot of things that are a constant torment in my life. I live in a good place. I have a nice family. I don't have to struggle too hard, and nothing's really that bad for me right now. So I can't pull it from a personal spot of heartbreak and frustration on that side of things. But I can put myself into sort of an author's perspective, where I'm looking at things like, well, what is something somebody wants to hear, or something somebody needs to hear, or what's the soundtrack to this person's summer? And I try and think about it more from a third party kind of a thing. Yeah, so I think that helps, because it's like, and even if you are that tortured soul or that person that's going through something, you know, life-changing, it can't be who you are for six albums, you know what I mean?
No.
I think sometimes you got to just perspective shift a little.
Well, you got to be able to have, you know, those messages, even for yourself, as if you have to write a positive song coming out of something like that, you know, is how do I walk through that fear and go to that next level, right? And it helps yourself along the way. So I think a lot of people learn that way.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know what's cool is you learn a lot about other songwriters that way too, when you get into a room. And if I'm not the person who brings in the nugget, like if it's somebody else, maybe that I don't know, if I'm in Nashville or something, then you start to like, it's almost like a exercise in sociology. You really get to see what's out there and what people are going through and how they interpret life. And that's actually, you know, when it boils down to it, I think that's what I like most about country music, is it's all about people. It's understanding people and connecting with people. And for me, it's about putting a smile on people's faces.
How has it been for you to shift, you know, going from the rock band and gravitating yourself into the country music? What was that decision for you?
Well, it was a little bit labored. That was, you know, if I was to say I was in a crossroads for a songwriting perspective, that would have probably been it. My rock band had just kind of started to wind down. We all wanted to try some different things. And I went back to business school and got my Bachelor of Commerce. And one of my bass player went to university to be a lawyer. And another guy opened a studio. And another guy started selling his art professionally, like his paintings. So it was this weird time in my life where I was like, wow, all I've ever known is being in this van touring the country with my four best friends. And it just kind of life got a little scary for me for a minute there.
Are you guys in touch with each other still?
Yeah, well, that's what made partly what made the transition so easy, is that my guitar player Tyler and my drummer Greg came with me for the country band. And
nice.
So that little comfort, you know, that safety blanket was there. And I think that helped our live show not start at zero and build up. Like we're doing a lot of the things that we used to do in Tupelo Honey, and just applied slightly different. And so it doesn't feel much different to me.
When it comes to that shift in audience too, you know, a lot of people that have come from different genres into the country, you know, it's just like that big sigh of relief, because the fans for country are absolutely the most loyal fans you're ever going to get. And I know that you guys had such a huge following, and I was one of them, you know, in the rock era. But when you were looking at switching over, what is the biggest change that you've seen between the rock audience and country?
Oh, that was hugely palpable for me right away. Like you can just see that it's not as much about being cool and like trying to impress somebody. Like, not to say that that's how all rock fans are, because I love so much of those people and so much of that music.
But presence was required on the stage.
I felt like, you know, maybe I'm past the point of my life where I need to be a cool 20-year-old. it's funny, because the demographic was really, you know, the university crowd, ages 20 to 30, I would say. And then in country, it's like 5 to 90, and they're loyal for life. So it's great. And, you know, it's a family thing, and it can also be a party thing. So it wears a lot of different hats. I think country music really has that wide appeal, because it can be whatever you need it to be. It can be like that singer-songwriter, you know, rip your heart out thing, or it can be a beer gardens, put your drink in the air thing, or it can be a, dancing with your 4-year-old daughter in at a music festival thing. So it's really cool.
Yeah. And I think too, it's just when you're in the audience for country, it doesn't really matter as long as the lyrics are something that they can relate to, the fans can relate to. And it's just, as you said, that storytelling can come in different forms. And now with country genre, you have rock, you've got pop, you've even got, you know, the piano, the horns, everything is coming into country now. And it just gives that more versatility, you know, when it comes to the sounds you guys can create for country music.
Yeah, and it's actually, that's one thing that's been inspiring for me over the last year is it's just like, it's made me think, okay, well, I've done what I do for the last 4 or 5 years. Maybe I should open up and try some other flavors in my music and the future singles coming out here and seeing what I can come up with. Because it's just, creatively, it's fun to always grow. And I think in country music, it allows you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. there's some stuff you hear on the radio, it's like, wow, how does it still fit? But it also does somehow, you know?
I know, because even like 10 years ago, when we were doing the Now and Then at the CCMAs, when it was coming to the Legends show and bringing in somebody new and they were coordinating together on the stage, we were talking about it back then, about keeping things classic country. And then now you're seeing, you know, people that are creating like Chris Stapleton doing classic country, but making it modern. And then you're seeing all these other young artists that are coming out that are so popular right now. And Canadian country is just killing it, you know, when it comes to that. We're seeing these new artists being welcomed, you know, across the board. Like you, look at you in Australia. I know we have a lot of listeners there, and you are doing huge things over there.
Oh, it's been wild. You know, I always wanted to break into that market. I never quite really knew how. But I began speaking with a promo company there that has a record label. And I just had, more or less, I was just asking questions about the market. Because I know it's, you know, country music's like football. You can play it in 3 places in the world. There's like America, which is like the golden dream. And then Canada and Australia. And Australia has kind of its own rules. So it's very much like football in this scene. But I was excited because I would draw so many parallels between that country and our country, population wise and demographic wise, and just even how we're both impossible countries to tour.
Yes.
Like these kinds of things just made me think, like, I bet there's a lot of similarities in the fans way they digest music. And then starting to see Jess Moskaluk and Gore Bamford and the Roadhammers and Mackenzie Porter all have success down there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what is, first of all, that's so cool that they're open to artists from other countries, you know, having some success in their market, because, you know, it's hard to do that in Canada. For an Australian to release a song in Canada with all of our CanCon rules and stuff
exactly.
like that,
it
just wouldn't happen. So, you know, I figured, like, what better way to introduce myself to a foreign market than to release a song with a familiar band, the Roadhammers, and just go full pin on it. So that's really been my focus for the last month, is just doing whatever I can do to meet, well, digitally anyway, as many Australian music industry people as I can.
The digital market has really opened up, you know, the format for the way that, you know, people listen to music and getting the music out there. And it couldn't come at a better time, you know, when it comes to the pandemic and everything, you know, that everybody's been going through. So they're like listeners from Japan, China, Austria, you know, everybody in the UK, the listeners and the wide base audience you guys have now is just incredible.
Yeah, isn't it so weird? And that was one of my favorite things that's happened to me in my music career was, you know, when the rock band shut down, I was like, there goes all my dreams of international travel, because I thought that it was over for me. But and then, you know, as I was doing some music video research and just seeing if anybody cared about me anywhere else in the world, we came across all these line dancers in Europe.
This is so cool.
Yeah, in Budapest and in Bordeaux and in Paris. And it was just like, what? How do they even know what this is?
So, it's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, you know, and now I've played in China, I've been to Japan, Dominican, Hungary, Italy, France, UK. It's just crazy.
Are you leading the dance? Are you on TikTok doing any of that?
Oh man, nobody wants that.
I'm calling you out.
I know. I thought about trying to learn it just for fun, but it's wild. Yeah, we made a whole music video about it. Last time I played in France, it was at a festival, and we're like, okay, well, I'm going to bring my video guy, and let's go meet all these line dancers all over the place and just see. And it, you know, it was great. In Hungary, it was like they were so Eastern European. And it was just, it was like amazing. And they were shocked that I wasn't wearing a cowboy hat and boots. And I was like, yeah, in North America, it's not really like that. And they're so disappointed.
Well, because they're coming out geared up for the show, right?
Oh, yeah. They got their tassels and their boot cuts tucked into their jeans.
Well, because we have listeners and it's crazy. Every time we put on, you know, country and it's a country interview, which I do a lot of them, but I do everything, you know, every genre. But I'm telling you, I have more hits all the time from all over the world. And it is every corner, Sweden, everywhere. And it's just that they love the country.
You know, isn't that great?
Yeah. And so you're hitting it really well out there.
Well, I'm trying to. It is really competitive here, too. So I figure, like, it's nice to sow some seeds in other places. Like, I think the UK could be a really great explosive market soon.
Huge.
A lot of interest from people, a lot of great artists there. And automatically, the language barrier is broken down. So, yeah, I've been there a couple times on writing trips and just fallen in love with that place. I hope that I can get some action there sometime soon.
Oh, guaranteed. As soon as this opens up, I bet you that's going to happen for you. Not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give independent artists that are just starting out today or have been in it for a while and find themselves struggling?
I think what I've noticed a lot lately is analysis paralysis. This is the thing in the music industry that I've learned to not do, because I think when artists think that they've written their best song, that's a problem. Like, if you write a great song, don't be afraid, put it out whenever you want to put it out, do your branding the way you want to do it. Don't overthink things, because that's when personality goes out the window and then it becomes a huge disappointment to you. So I think you've never written your best song. Always your next song should be your best song. So that's one thing, I think. And the other thing, too, is just, you know, trusting your intuition and trusting the people around you. Like, if you hire a producer, let the producer produce.
You know? That's so true. That's really good advice. Yeah.
Maybe that's good. Because I've had experience as a producer now that I'm starting to see maybe the things that I've done that have frustrated other people. But, getting people charged up about your career that are close to you is so great. Like, it just lifts so much weight off your shoulders. I know with Jeff Dalziel, my producer, and Travis Nesbitt, my branding guy, and Bill Miller, my radio guy, and my publisher, of course, Jennifer Mitchell, between those four people, like, it's just, I have people helping me do things I wouldn't have thought about before, and it just generates opportunities, and that's all you can really hope for.
Jeff has a way of doing that with every artist, you know, that comes into the studio, because he's a master, you know, as an engineer in mixing, and it's just as a producer, you know, two-time CCMA award winner. It's just incredible to see what he does, you know, with the song. Everybody has an idea when they're going in, and, you know, he turns around and pulls things out of you, you know, and I know that people spend a lot of time on their vocals working with Jeff. You know,
that's his thing for sure. That's totally his baby.
Yeah, because he can pull notes out of people that they never even thought they had. And then the way the song comes out in the end is just like everybody's blown away. Like, he is so talented, you know, as a producer.
Yeah, I've learned a lot from him over the years. And now, as I'm trying to develop as a producer, it's easy for me to appreciate how good he actually is. And, you know, we were talking about sociology kind of stuff. Like, he's a master of that kind of thing. He understands people's, I guess it's like an emotional intelligence. He can understand what people are thinking and feeling and tries to anticipate and make everybody comfortable and say the things that get to the result that everybody wants. And it's a real art form.
Well, he's also a musician too, so I think he understands where you guys are coming from.
Yeah, well, he does for sure. And I think that's why we clicked a lot, because he was in a rock band for a long time, and then he moved into the production and songwriting world. And, you know, I met Jeff in 2005 when we won a band competition in Edmonton when we were just a new band. We went to the finals in Toronto at Canadian Music Week, and we won the national battle of the bands. And it was bands like State of Shock, and all these bands were in there. And Jeff was in the audience, and he just came in to like pay for parking or something, and saw the last 30 seconds of our song. And he came up to us after, and we started chatting, and we came out to Toronto the next week again. And he was the first guy that got us into co-writing and meeting some of the Toronto scene. And before you knew it, you know, we had a couple songs that were well, number one in Edmonton on two formats and some top 40s, and it's just we're off to the races. So,
well, it's really nice to have him produce your new single too.
Yeah, he's done all my stuff, and you know, I like to keep it that way. Even though I feel like I have some skill now as a producer, I just think that there's, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
It's so true. Now, since you've been doing, you know, so much in the way of touring, and I know that this last year has been so much different, but how do you balance the realities between touring as an artist and being committed as a family man?
You know, it's always, it's waves. In the summertime, it's like, it kind of can suck sometimes because it's basically all your weekends are spoken for. Because that's just when the festivals happen. But in other ways, it's really great because, you know, I don't have a 9-to-5. I don't have to call in sick to anybody or anything like that. So we get, I get a lot of daytime hours with my girls, and I think a lot of dads don't get that. So I consider myself lucky on that front, but you know, it can be demanding. You know, I remember going to Japan when I had a 4-month-old baby. Aww. That was a little scary, but, yeah, it becomes just a reality. I guess just get so used to it that our system seems normal now.
What's it like for your wife and your child to be home now and having you around so much?
That it's been, you know, I think it's been great, but it has made me come to an understanding of like how daytime hours can be super important for productivity. So yeah, luckily my oldest daughter, I have two daughters, one's 7 and one's 5, and the oldest daughter's in school for most of the day, and the younger one has preschool a few days a week. So I find my windows to really buckle down and focus and work a lot of evenings. But you know, I will say last summer it was nice almost in a weird way to not be touring, because I got to just sit in the backyard and put my feet in the kiddie pool and plant some flowers and stuff. It was kind of nice.
It's nice to be able to, you know, get life's noise out of the way, because you guys don't get that very often, because when you're in the studio, you're writing sessions and everything else, then you're on radio tour, then you're performing in the festivals. It's just, you know, it's a game that you guys go all year round and promote, because if you aren't signed by a label, it's independent and it comes out of your funds, and there's just so much that goes into that, paying the guys and everything else. So there's a lot to it, you know, that fans don't really understand how much it costs you guys, you know, just to go into the studio to record one song. You know,
it's crazy. Yeah. The travel cost is the thing that just kills me. It's I've been lucky enough where I've had a couple songs that have done well enough that I can have some royalties coming in, and it helps offset those costs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like flying 6 people from here to, say, PEI is more expensive than if I would have flown them to Japan. So Canada is a weird country for that.
I know, isn't it? I don't know why. Like, even for us to in our own country, to fly from one side to the other is insane. I know, right now the prices are better, but usually they're crazy. It costs us more or less to fly to the States than it does in Canada.
Yeah, like I have a friend who lives in southern Alberta, and they always drive into Montana and fly from there because it's cheaper.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them. Now, tell us about the idea for your single that's out right now for Roll With It and featuring that with the Roadhammers.
Yeah, well, you know, I produced 3 songs on the Roadhammers' upcoming record, and I wrote 2 of them, I guess. And when we were writing for their record, me and Jason and Clayton had come up with this idea that was it was supposed to be for them. But we kind of stopped at the end of the day, and we're like, I think this is a Dan song. I don't think this is a Hammer song. So, you know, luckily, nothing else to do in COVID time, so I turned it around pretty quick. And they were coming into Edmonton to shoot their video for Boys Are Back At It, which is one of the songs I produced. And they were shooting it with my friend Travis that I mentioned earlier, who's my video guy. So we just did a super hard weekend, and we shot their video on the Saturday and my video on the Sunday. And we shot my video at my studio, where we have a green screen room, and we just kind of, we had to just do the pun and roll with it. Yeah, it was pretty thrown together, but that's kind of, I think, when the magic happens. I think when you have some time constraints and budget constraints, that's when it's like your brain clicks in. It's like, okay, how do we nail this with what the box we have to work in? I like those kind of challenges.
Well, and the Roadhammers are so easy to do that with, because those guys are just so much fun, and the creativity between all of them, and it's just, you know what, it's always such a good time.
Yeah, I feel like I've gotten really close with those guys, and I just have so much respect for them as performers. Like, I remember early in my career seeing them play. We were at a festival in some no-name place in Northern Ontario, and I was like, this is the best show in country music. It's amazing. It's like, it's so entertaining and so off the cuff, and I just thought it was magical.
Well, they are so talented. So let's play this one right now. So we're going to play Roll With It by my very special guest, Dan Davidson, featuring the Roadhammers here on Music's Journey.
Smoke from the hood on a northbound lane. Hello, way to start Labor Day. If I can't drink beer on a dock on the lake, I guess a couple silver bullets on my old tailgate and just suntan truck bed copper tone while I'm waiting for my AAA hook and go. It don't matter if the Firestone's flat, it's where I is where it's at. You gotta roll, 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 roll with it. Can't win it if you don't scratch the ticket. Cause it is what it is, gonna do what it does. Ain't nothing you can do when you're down on your luck. Just roll, 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 roll with it. Let it roll off your back and don't quit it. Cause a sparrow or a strike, man, that's just life. You gotta roll, roll, roll with it. In her big Dodge Ram, a highway angel for a helpless man. She said, hey cowboy, you going my way? I said, yes ma'am, I guess I am today. You gotta roll, 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 roll with it. You can't win it if you don't scratch the ticket. Cause it is what it is, gonna do what it does. Ain't nothing you can do when you're down on your luck. You just roll, 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 roll with it. Let it roll off your back and don't quit it. Cause a spare or a strike, man, that's just life. You gotta roll, roll, roll with it. Well, sometimes it's an uphill both ways, barefoot. Yeah, it's a hard road. Sometimes it's a payday. Numbers coming up, 649 lotto. So here's the motto. Gotta roll, 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 roll with it. Can't win it if you don't scratch the ticket. Cause it is what it is, gonna do what it does. Ain't nothing you can do when you're down on your luck. Just roll, 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 roll with it. Let it roll off your back and don't quit it. Cause a sparrow or a strike, man, that's just life. You gotta roll, roll, roll. Sometimes it's an uphill both ways, barefoot. It's a hard go. Sometimes it's a payday, numbers coming up, 649 lotto. So here's the motto, you gotta roll, 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 roll with it. Let it roll off your back and don't quit it. Cause a sparrow or a strike, man, that's just life. You gotta roll, roll, roll with it.
That is the latest for Dan Davidson along with the Roadhammers and Roll With It. I gotta say, your backwards driving is killer in that video.
Yeah, I've been practicing.
For you. Now let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast with her special guest, the man with the big nuggets, Dan Davidson.
Okay.
Talking about songwriting.
Oh, yes.
Songwriting.
That's the first line of my bio, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Such a great song. Now, the fans all over the world, especially Australia, are going crazy for this song.
Man, I couldn't believe it that on the second week it already is in the top 20. It's wild, and I'm dying to get over there and meet some Australian fans.
Oh, I bet you they can't wait either. Holy cow. It's just such a cool vibe, and song is so great. Did you expect you to be so popular in country music? Have you been shocked by it?
A little bit, to tell you the truth. I mean, I know the struggles of an independent musician and being able to get up to that level where you're in the conversation and, you know, award shows and you know, tours and whatever. But when I first got into it, I was sort of inspired in part by Dallas Smith, who, you know, was in a band that we used to tour with a lot.
Default, yeah.
Yeah. And so I remember there was a show we played in Regina, I think. And after he was talking about, like, man, listen to this Keith Urban stuff. Like, I think I could do that. And we're like, oh, you should do it. That'd be cool. And then here we are a handful of years later, and he's the biggest country star that Canada's really ever had. And but I went to see him because he was opening for Florida Georgia Line a handful of years ago, probably, I guess 5 or 6 years ago when I was starting out. And he was doing an after party in Edmonton. And so I was like, I'm going to come and say hi. And I went down, and I saw him, and it was just like, you know, 1500 people there hanging out, and he just probably getting paid to drink beer and just be there. And I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And he was and the show was great, and his show was like a rock show, and I was like, oh, okay, I can do that.
And that one I can do.
Yeah. And he pulled me over after, and he's like, hey man, you should think about doing country. Like, it's really fun and people are great, and you know, it's not that much different than what we used to do. And I was like, yeah, he's right. Dan Davidson even sounds like the country. Sounds like a pair of jeans. That's like a Dan Davidson in a size 31.
Oh, that's so cool.
Those aren't on your merch page, though.
No, they're not.
Yeah, that's, maybe that should go up there. But but he was right, though. You know, in the end of the day, he was totally right. It doesn't feel that different for me. And it's just like unlocking one little door that I used to keep locked in my songwriting, and here I am. So kudos to Dallas for being a bit of an inspiration.
You rock boys do it really well.
But you know what? There's a lot of us that have come over secretly that you don't hear about that are in the country game.
Tim Hicks too, right? Oh, like, there's so many. Yeah,
rock. But a lot of the side guys were all like Dallas's drummer was in a band called Hail the Villain, which was like really hard rock
about
band.
That. That's right. Yeah.
So there's a few of us that have snuck in.
Well, hey, you know what? Canadian country just got that much better. I'm telling you, you know, we're just awesome to have you guys. Are you okay to do the burning questions portion of the interview?
Of course. Yeah, whatever you got for me.
All right. Craziest thing a fan has ever requested you to do?
There was somebody asked me if they could propose to their girlfriend on stage last year at Big Valley Jamboree, or 2019, I guess. And I don't think it went very well.
Oh, no.
It was, like, really awkward and really quiet. No. And I remember the band, we have this one microphone that only goes to each other's ears. And we were all like, oh, this is a train wreck. No, don't do it. No.
Oh, and, shoot.
So that request will be denied in the future.
Oh, holy cow. Well, John's got something to say about that one.
That's how I asked Kim to marry me.
That's how he asked me. Yeah.
Michelle Wright got me up on stage, and I did it.
A little
there.
More successful than this one.
Yes, yes.
A little bit.
I was pretty sure.
I know everybody in the audience goes, are you sure, Kim? Are you sure? And then, no, I couldn't hesitate.
Well, the pressure was on, right?
That's right. Because if I had said no, it would have been really bad.
Yeah, it's hard for a band to go back to a fun set after a no.
So true.
I can't even imagine what that would have been like.
Okay, give it up for Kim. Here's another song.
Can you share your funniest moment on stage, like a blooper or a prank?
Okay.
I know Jason's good for those.
You know what? It's so funny. I was talking to Nice Horse about this, and it's so hard to remember like all the funny things that happened. But there was, we were on tour. I thought this was funny, but I could tell the Brett Kissel guys were wanting to prank me. And it was my birthday, and we were on tour in Humboldt, Saskatchewan. And I knew they were up to something because they always bring me up for a song. But then I was like just kind of standing with Brett, and he was talking at the front of the stage. And I was like, this is weird. Why am I just standing here? I don't know what it was, but my spidey senses tingled. And somebody ran up side stage with like a cream pie. It was supposed to smoke me in the face. But I had this like ninja like reflex where I did this back bend, and it missed me, and it went right into the drummer's kick drum. And the whole thing was just covered in whipped cream.
Oops.
So I felt like I won the day.
One crisis averted.
Exactly.
Holy cow. All right. Best personal trait that you love about yourself?
Oh, man. I don't know. I have an unusual positive way of looking at things that I think can be annoying to people.
I'm the same way. I think I annoy John a lot for doing that.
I think everybody needs a sunshine and rainbows cheerleader sometimes. So I feel like maybe I turn that up a little
hot. I'm your
girl.
Yeah. All right. What is your favorite sports team and why?
Oh, the Edmonton Oilers. Clearly.
Oilers suck.
And why? Because we have no shame in being great all year and then being terrible as soon as the playoffs hit.
Just like the Leafs.
Yeah, exactly.
He got into that one with Pat when we did the interview upstairs because Leafs were still doing good and Edmonton wasn't. Right?
Pat and I were texting about that too, and it was like, you know, when the Leafs lost, there was a collective sigh of relief in Edmonton because all the Toronto media was like, "Oh, Connor McDavid's going to be looking for a trade," and we're like, "Really? How about Austin Matthews? Is he looking for a trade?"
That's what Pat said. Yeah, because he wasn't. I don't think he was braced enough for John's comments when it comes to that. And so he's going, okay, I can take some ribbon now. So.
Yeah. Well, I thought for sure the Leafs would be at least moving on to the third round, but
I hoped. Yeah, it was the only game John and I took some time because it's been so busy for us, you know, with the interviews and that. And we tend to do a lot of the editing at night because we just don't have time.
Right.
And that's the only game we watched. And of course, they lost. Right.
So. Oh, brutal. I remember I watched the game four against the Jets, Edmonton and the Jets, when we got swept. But I brought my TV outside and I was like all set up on the deck. But I was watching this, like, I don't have cable. I got rid of my cable, so I watch everything on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I have CBC Gem, and so that it was, like, broadcasting the game, but it was, like, 2 minutes delayed. So I could hear the neighbors over the fence going crazy when we'd score. And then it got into overtime, and the neighbors were really quiet. So I was really nervous. I knew it was coming.
Like, crap.
Yeah.
I remember stepping outside just for a second. I come back in and went, ah, come on.
I know. It's just, it's heartbreaking. You just feel like all that hard work all year goes away. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is a hard thing to win the Stanley Cup. Alexander Ovechkin was drafted in, like, I don't know, 2008, and he didn't come close till 2014. So
mm-hmm.
Yep. There you go.
I wish Toronto fans just stayed fans. You know, that's the only thing. It's just like when they don't do well, it's just everybody disperses. It's like, it's such a hard game and they don't realize it. You know, the momentum comes from the fans too, right?
I think those are the two hardest markets for a player to play in because the fans are either your best friends or your worst enemies.
That's right. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got to get on board and just stay there. I'm telling you. Okay, so
I just hope everyone has fun.
Yeah. That's about it. That's the one thing I'd rather be in the audience at the rink instead of watching it on TV. That's one game that I got to be there for.
Yeah, I feel like that about baseball. I like baseball.
Baseball
but
too.
Can't watch it on TV. I just want a hot dog.
That's our first thing, John and That's I do so is get the hot dog. It's terrible. All right, so favorite lyrics of all time?
My favorite lyrics are like the misheard lyrics. Like, excuse me while I kiss this guy. Like, stuff like that.
Yeah, Pat goes, it wasn't me. Okay.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
Yeah, that's a classic one right there.
Okay.
Love it.
Favorite moment on stage so far?
It's a toss up. That Big Valley show I mentioned a little while ago, that was a great show for me. It was like 10,000 people in the beer gardens, and it was my home market, and so it was absolutely mayhem, and they were so loud. But I got to give an honorable mention to the couple times I opened for Bon Jovi. You know, that's of the handful of big stadium shows I've done, those two were amazing. I mean, that's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band, and it was 17,000 people wall to wall. It was amazing.
I'm usually in row 4 in the front, and I think just 2 years ago was the very first show I've ever missed from his Toronto shows.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great show, and they were just like, you know, really nice people. Well, I mean, we had minimal interactions with them, but we did have some. There was a moment where they were walking out of catering, and Tyler, my guitar player, and I were walking in, and we literally smashed into Richie Sambora and John Bon Jovi, and all the thing we could think to say was like this weird thing.
That sounds like my girlfriend.
Yeah, I think we made a real impression there.
I took my girlfriend backstage, and it was just a surprise for her. It's just like she never missed any of Bon Jovi. And I thought, okay, this is going to be the coolest surprise. Take her backstage. She didn't say a word. Completely clammed. And he just looked and goes, it's okay. It's all right. And that's all she said.
Isn't that funny? It's hard, though. You don't know what to say when you have, like, a 10-second conversation with somebody. It's weird.
I figured she had enough beer that something would have come out, but no, yeah. It didn't work out.
Hey, great show.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
yeah, thanks.
Anything.
All right, for the last question, most useless talent that you have.
Most useless talent. Well, okay, I have two I can think of. I have this weird knack. This is more of like a superhuman thing, but if I open a cupboard and something falls, no matter where it is in my eyesight, I will catch it.
Cool. See? You were a baseball player. Weird. You were a baseball player at some point in time as a catcher, right?
More of a hot dog eater, but I'll take baseball player too.
Yeah. Oh, too funny. All right, so where can fans get all the latest news for you guys?
Hang on. He said there were two.
I'm
fantastic at doing stupid things like juggling and spinning a basketball on my finger and all the things that have no application in sports. Like, those are the things I can do.
Hey, TikTok moments, right?
Yeah.
TikTok moments.
And I have to say this, you do play at Awesome Moose.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I have an alarming amount of costumes in my house.
We do have a request, and we want to be able to play your hit song, Found, right now, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
All right. Let's play Found by my very special guest, award-winning Dan Davidson, on Music's Journey.
Well, it might be the whiskey talking, might be the wine, but I think that I found someone I can settle down with all my life. Once bitten and twice shy, I've been through the worst, now I want to make you mine. A country house and a family, we can have that beautiful life. Well, it might be the whiskey talking, might be the wine, but I think that I found someone I can settle down with all my life. I've been running from the light, only darkness till you came around. Now a country house and a family, we can have that beautiful life. Well, it might be the whiskey talking, might be the wine, but I think that I found someone I can settle down with all my life. I've been running from the light, only darkness till you came around. Now a country house and a family, we can have that beautiful life. Well, it might be the whiskey talking, might be the wine, but I think that I found someone I can settle down.
What a great song from 2016 that is Found from Dan Davidson. I gotta tell you, I cannot hear that song to this day without thinking of that video. That is an awesome, awesome video. I love the moose driving down the road.
I tried to buy that costume off the rental place in Edmonton. They wouldn't sell it to me. Oh. It was like, it's so disgusting and totally used and awful. So I bought one from China, and it came with no eye holes in it. So it's just like this blind moose thing.
And you were driving the car.
Okay. Well, that one is the rental. So, okay. I don't know why I even wanted to have one, but I wanted one.
I literally laughed out loud when I saw that. It's hilarious.
We were killing ourselves laughing last night when we were watching, and I went, I knew you were gone for a day for a reason. That was John in that. He dressed up as Pluto years ago. So that was probably him.
Those costumes are hot, aren't they?
Oh, man. Wow. They're so disgusting. Like, we were at the end of the video there, when I take off my head, like, you can just see that we're drenched in sweat. It's disgusting. Then you return the costumes, and that's why they're so awful.
And I remember, too, that the Pluto costume, like the moose costume, is all carpet. That's pretty much all it is. So, and you've got paws, so you can't wipe the sweat from your face because your face is inside, like in a helmet. Yep. And you're just dripping sweat. And, really disgusting.
And the insides of those things, too, like the way that helmet fits to your head with the fiberglass bits and stuff, it pulls your hair when you take it off. So it's not what you want.
So you were literally pulling your head off, right?
Yeah, fashion over function, I think.
That's right.
Kudos going out to all the mascots in sports. Oh, Lord, they put up with a lot.
I don't even want to know what that's like in 32-degree weather, what that would be like.
Oh, yeah, no, that's punishment in some countries.
That's right. This is your job for the day. You're doing this for the next year.
Caught shoplifting and you get to wear a Pluto costume for 3 days.
That's right. All right, so tell everybody where they can reach you for the best, latest news and live shows and music.
I think it's going to be everything at It's Dan Davidson, as far as social media goes, or they can check out dandavidsonmusic.com.
Perfect. Is there some live shows coming up?
There is. I'm about to announce one this week, which will be my first show announcement for the summer, which I'm really excited about. But we got a couple. I think I've got three booked for the summer, and I got one booked for the fall in Spain, which I'm excited about.
Oh, very cool. So can you give us a little hint about what you're announcing this week? A little hint?
I can't, except you'll know a lot of the artists on it. It's a nice looking bill, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, perfect. Okay, well, I'm disappointed I don't get a little bit of a tidbit there.
Okay, well, they're in Edmonton, Calgary, and somewhere in Saskatchewan. So they're not Eastern shows, unfortunately, but I've got to start close to home, and then I'll work my way that way.
Oh, we're just going to be so happy to see you guys playing live and being able to be there in some form or another, right?
Yeah, it's going to be so great. I think it's just going to be a merch table full of hugs.
Oh.
That's pretty much it.
Hugs, $2.
Yeah. Finally, I can charge.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing a little bit about your life and your music and lyrics. We absolutely love you, Anna. I remember you from CMWs, and I did that circuit for such a long time. And it's nice to see you. Nice to see you doing this and just killing it just like you did then. So we are so grateful.
So
Canadian country music fans, we absolutely love Dan Davidson.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, guys. This is a lot of fun, actually. It's a great, great time.
Well, I hope you'll come back and let us know if there's something new coming up this year.
Anytime, yeah. You just let me know, and I'll keep you guys in the loop.
Okay,
perfect.
So I will send everything out to Bill, and we'll get that out for you. So thank you once again for coming out and talking on Music's Journey.
Thanks, Dan.
My pleasure, guys. Well, hopefully we'll stay in touch.
All right, take care. Stay safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. What a show with Dan Davidson. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. The more positive the rating, the easier it is for people to find the show, and it really helps grow our community that we are trying to develop here. You can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Podchaser, Deezer, TuneIn, and Alexa, and more. If you are someone who has just recently found the podcast, welcome. We are really excited to have you here, so please make sure that you subscribe to our future podcasts. Take a snapshot of the podcast, post it to your Instagram story, and I will give you a shout out at our next future podcast. So thank you once again for staying tuned to Music's Journey, and we really love having you here. And thank you for welcoming us into your home, into your cars, and wherever you are playing Music's Journey podcast. We got some great shows coming up for you. Stereos are going to be here on June 10th. We're really excited about that. Elise Saunders. We have Danny Doucette. We have Jason Blaine. Jamie Warren, Kea, The Heels, we have Mac London, Weapons, Sevelaine, and Carly Akins is going to be here. So we've got so much coming up, and we got some great ones coming after that too. Once again, thank you for tuning in. I'm Kim Sear, your host here at Music's Journey. We'll see you very soon. Stay safe and take care.
And again, a great big thank you to Dan Davidson for chatting with us today on Music's Journey. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.